Teens from around the nation will take the stage tonight and attempt to tackle the spelling words like phenomenology and onomatopoeia. We're talking about the finals of the Scripps National Spelling Bee, which will be airing tonight on national television.
And while most of us won't be attempting those words anytime soon, spelling is something that affects us on a daily basis. With the ever-increasing presence of things like text messaging and autocorrect, some people are questioning the merits of spelling and suggesting, hey, maybe it doesn't matter as much as it used to. So does it?
Well, joining us now to help us take on this question is Mignon Fogarty, better known as the Grammar Girl. She's the founder of the Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing series, which features several books and a weekly podcast on spelling and grammar. Mignon, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, nice to talk with you.
Well, spelling is one of those subjects that people either really get into or they kind of hate it. It seems like there's not a lot of middle ground. What is it about spelling that polarizes people?
I think it requires a lot of memorization, and I remember watching my father studying with my younger brother, going through those spelling tests, and for him, it was absolutely painful. I mean, it often ended in tears because it was so frustrating, and he had to have it memorized by the morning, and it was just a bad time in the house. But I think if you can get past that, the idea of rote memorization, and get into the cool parts about where the words come from, their roots and their historical meanings and things like that, it can actually become quite interesting and fun, maybe if you're not under that kind of have to know it by tomorrow morning kind of pressure.
And that's the way these kids at the Scripps Spelling Bee study, I've seen documentaries, they do look at the country of origin and word and spelling patterns, and they really turn it into a science, but a lot of people don't have the patience for that, I guess, or the interest.
Right. I think it's a hobby, you know, just like many other unusual hobbies. You know, the people who go into competitive solving of a Rubik's Cube or something like that, where you just have a particular hobby and you find it interesting for some reason, and you're willing to put the time in to become really good at it. And then it becomes fun and a challenge, and you want to be the best at what you do.
Do you think that, you know, even in a world where there is autocorrect, that we still get kind of worked up when people misspell things, kind of judgy about misspelled words?
Oh, definitely. When people ask me why grammar and spelling matter, I always tell them because people judge the quality of your argument and your ideas by the way you present it. So you could have some fabulous, brilliant insight, but if you write it with typos and misspelled words and missing punctuation, people won't take it as seriously. They'll discount the very ideas you're trying to convey. So if you want to be taken seriously, it's important to get the spelling and punctuation and grammar right.
Now, the argument has been made from academics and cultural critics that maybe spelling doesn't matter as much anymore. If you look at time in the classroom right now, it's pretty limited and there's a lot of stuff to get through. And why should kids spend their time learning spelling when there's so many other things to get to? So does spelling really matter when we have lots of tools to help us spell things correctly?
Well, it's great that we have those tools. I mean, I rely on spell check myself, but I think that they're only tools, and you need to have the confidence to know when spell check or autocorrect are leading you astray. You know, spell check isn't going to catch all the homonyms that you can mix up, the affects or effects, and, you know, the words that sound the same and are real words but have different meanings. So it's still important to know what the right words are to use, I think. I believe that.
Can't we get some of that from context, though?
Oh, sure. And, you know, I see the argument they're making. So when I'm text messaging a friend, you know, it is more acceptable to use all lowercase letters, for example, in those very informal contexts. I mean, we are more accepting of errors in things such as text messages. But I still think that in more formal writing, in school papers, for example, or company annual reports or company press releases, getting it right matters.
What sorts of benefits do you think we get from being a good speller?
Oh, I think probably the biggest benefit is just peace of mind. You know, when you send something out that you know it's right instead of having to worry if you have an error.
Peace of mind. And I guess you're saying people can absorb your arguments better, which is a pretty persuasive thing to have in your back pocket.
Right. It's a lot like, choosing what to wear. It's all about the impression you're making on other people. So you can project an image of intelligence and professionalism, or you can project an image of, being a no-good slacker. And it all just depends on, a lot of different things about how you put yourself out in the world.
Do you think, though, it's possible that we are too hung up on spelling and that it could unfairly lead people to have a bias against other people or other groups of people who may not have the same background?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you should not, even though it's a fact of life that we do judge people based on their spelling and grammar, an enlightened person would not do that. You should look at, when I see those internet comments, someone has made an argument on some topic and they have a typo or a misspelling, and then someone attacks them and says, well, obviously you don't know anything about, the national debt, because you can't even use the right version of the word your. Well, that is the weakest counter argument you could possibly make. It really is sort of nitpicky and serves no real purpose to further a discussion. So I do think that when people get too hung up on those kind of errors, it's sort of bad for intelligent discourse.
So where's the dividing line then? When is it okay to put on our spelling gloves and go to the mat and just insist that people get it right and that we get it right? And when is it okay to allow for differences and to just hear the argument instead of look at the words?
Well, I think in a perfect world, we would focus on the argument. In reality, certainly in school, it's really important for teachers to emphasize to kids that they need to learn their spelling and grammar and get it right in their papers and in their schoolwork. I think that's the most important place to focus on proper spelling and grammar, because, you're preparing those kids to go out in the world and make the good impression that we all hope they make. I know in my life, I don't get really hung up on whether the emails people send me have perfect grammar. Everyone always says they're nervous to write to me because I'm a grammar girl. I get these like blanket apologies at the end of emails. Oh, and I'm sorry for any errors there might be in here. That's just not necessary. I'm not picking every little, I'm not reading my email looking for every possible error. I'm interested in what people are trying to tell me.
That's a relief, because Rob and I were reading through the script before we introduced you and we weren't sure about something, so we changed it because we didn't want you to call us out on it.
I hear that a lot.
I want to talk more about technology, because that seems to be a sticking point today. And you could make the argument that technology is making us write more than ever. We're more prolific. We're texting. We're tweeting. But you could also say it's just, spreading bad habits. Where do you come down?
Right. It reminds me of a funny story. So I recently made a card game called Peeve Wars, and it's every card is a little pet peeve, but there are also grammar heroes. And what we made one of the grammar heroes autocorrect, because it helps you, right? Autocorrect is a hero because it catches your errors. But people think so negatively about autocorrect because it so often makes the wrong change. So we had a big debate about whether it should even be a hero or if it was more of a problem.
Well, it's interesting in out in the world, when you're out and about, you do see a lot of spelling errors on lots of places, from official places that you feel maybe should know better to just, everyday spelling errors. I don't know. Should we be judgmental? Should we run over to the grocery store clerk and say, that's not how you spell potatoes? Or should we just keep it to ourselves?
there's different schools of thought. So I'm not the kind of person who would go correct people. To me, it seems very aggressive and rude. But there are definitely people who do it and have told me they've gotten very positive responses from businesses when they go and politely and kindly tell them, I just discovered an error on your sign and I thought you might want to know so you can change it. Don't go up with whiteout or a Sharpie and deface their sign. That's a crime. but if you're polite and sincere and not judgmental, you're going to be much more likely to get a good response from the person you're trying to help.
So something like a spelling bee that's going on right now, how important is this? Is it something that's culturally significant, or is it just kind of a look at a subculture of a lot of kids who are really into spelling?
I, I think it's an awful lot of fun, and I think it is really sort of a subculture of kids who are into spelling. You know, the words that they're learning, they are not going to use most of them in their everyday life. Those are really, you know, complicated, hard words that you wouldn't want to use, you know, on your website or in an email to a friend. They're learning a lot of those words just for the unusualness of them, the quirkiness, and to prove that they can master a difficult task. So I think of it in a lot in the same way I think of maybe some of the more unusual sports in the Olympics. You know, the people who do ribbon dancing, for example, you know, that may not have a practical application in the rest of life. You know, you're not going to go out on the street corner and do your ribbon dancing to make a living, but it teaches you skills that are applicable in other ways. It teaches you.
And we're going to hold it right there and come back, talk more about spelling. We're talking with grammar girl Mignon Fogarty about the role of spelling in today's society. In light of the spelling bee going on right now in the national level, do you think it's still important to use good spelling? Do you think we're putting too much emphasis on it, or is it time to get more serious? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us if you think spelling still matters.
Could you repeat the word, please?
The word is business.
Business. B-R-D-T-F-K.
A spelling bee gone horribly wrong with Will Forte on Saturday Night Live. Spelling is on our minds here on Central Time today because of the big Scripps National Spelling Bee on TV, the finals tonight. We've got grammar girl Mignon Fogarty on with us to talk about the merits of spelling in today's digital age. And we want to hear from you.
You're listening to Central Time, and we want to hear from you right now. We're taking your calls and comments at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you think spelling is still important, or are we putting too much emphasis on the specifics if the message is what's getting across? And if you've ever competed in a spelling bee, what do you think about all this? What about a word that, despite your best efforts, you cannot spell? It just eludes you. You have a spelling block. What are those words for you? 800-642-1234. What do you think about the effect that technology has had on spelling? Let us know what you think there. And in terms of what kids are learning in school, Mignon, I mean, do you think that spelling is still taught in the same way? Has that changed, you know, in the past 50 years?
I'm not sure. I know I was with my nephew just last week, and he was studying his list of spelling words, just like my little brother was all those years ago. I do think one interesting thing is that this focus on spelling is something of a modern thing. Before the printing press, words were spelled however people thought they sounded. There were at least 15 different ways to spell the word merry, for example, as in happy. And it wasn't until the printing press came around and the typesetters had to decide how to spell words and they decided to be consistent about it that spelling really became as fixed as it is today.
So it is something, I mean, we know that language changes over time. And I guess if you look at technology, you could be seeing a rapid change in the way things are now. Do you think there are certain things that are acceptable now because of technology, because of texting and tweeting that wouldn't have been acceptable before?
Yeah, and I think that new uses of words are emerging. You know, a few months ago, everyone was focused on how because is being used as a preposition or a shorthand. So you would say, you know, oh, I'm having a bad day because rain. You know, and that's a very internet way of saying it. But it's become so prevalent all over the internet that it is sort of seeping into more formal writing, and because is taking on this new meaning, and we all know what it means, and we use it informally, and it wouldn't be at all unexpected if in another 10 years it became more acceptable and maybe even part of standard English.
So for those of us who could use a little work on our spelling, what tips do you have for us?
Well, you know, online dictionaries are just so easy to use now. I mean, it's as simple as you can find the answer to any spelling question in about 2 seconds if you have access to a computer or a smartphone. So install a couple of those dictionary apps, and next time you're in doubt, look it up. And, you know, one of the things that I start, before I was Grammar Girl, I would often write around, you know, if there was a word I didn't know how to spell, I would just pick a different word. I would rewrite my sentence to just avoid the problem. But it's so easy to look things up now that if you just take that, you know, 10 seconds to look it up next time you aren't sure about a word, and then you'll learn something new.
Do you think there's something to heredity about spelling ability? Sometimes people say they're just, quote, good spellers, and other people say they're bad spellers. Is there anything to that?
Oh, I think there is. And, you know, I know a lot of people who are dyslexic who have trouble spelling, and, you know, they appreciate spell check and autocorrect, you know, more than anyone else. But there are definitely people who are better at spelling than others.
And why do you think that is? Is it just something in the way we're wired?
I imagine so. I mean, my husband is really, really good at math. And, you know, I'm not good at math, but I write much better than he does. So I think that we are born with inherent things we're good at and things we're bad at, but that doesn't mean you can't learn it. It just means it's going to be a little harder and you have to put forth the extra effort. You know, I can do math, but I had to work harder than he did to be able to do it.
Same here. All right, let's go to our phones now. We've got Caleb on the line from Manitowoc. Hi, Caleb.
Hi.
What do you think about spelling?
So I used to be in spelling bees, and while I really like that idea, it's a great way to learn words for kids, but I think it's more important to get across eloquence and to get across what you mean to say rather than focus on the specifics of how a word is spelled.
So for you, it's about the big picture, about the ideas.
Yes.
And yet you were a spelling bee kid.
I really enjoyed it, yeah. It was fun, but I like to learn the words more than to learn the specifics of how they're built.
So would you rather see schools focus on that, on conveying ideas, than on the spelling?
Definitely.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate that. And here is a Facebook comment from Miranda, who says, when it comes to spelling, I always think of the movie Aquila and the Bee. I love that movie. I think I saw that one a long time ago. Have you seen that one, Mignon?
No, I wanted to. I should go see if it's on Netflix or something, because it sounded wonderful.
And there's the movie Spelling Bee and a documentary about it. So clearly this is something that some people really care deeply about. What about you? Do you care deeply about spelling? Do you think that it still matters in today's world of autocorrect and technology and texting and tweeting? Does it still matter that we spell words correctly? And do you care if your kids are focusing a lot on spelling in schools? Or do you think, more like Caleb, that maybe we should be focusing in on the big ideas about conveying an idea, about eloquence? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Mignon, are going to be watching the Spelling Bee on TV.
Yes, absolutely. I think those kids are amazing. You know, they put so much effort and heart into the competition. I just think, you know, they're great role models. They're really impressive kids.
All right, well, we're going to be watching along, too, or at least following the winning words. It's always fascinating to see if you could spell the word. Usually the answer is no,
right,
but at least from my point of view. But anyway, it's been great talking to you. Great considering spelling.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
We've been talking to Mignon Fogarty, better known as the Grammar Girl. She's the founder of the Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing series, which features several books and a weekly podcast about spelling and grammar. And we have a little Spelling Bee here on Central Time for Rob.
We do?
No, you
tell me you're going to do this.
No,
I'm
we
not
do.
Surprised.
I've only picked two words. Now, to be fair, these are the really hard words. These
okay.
are the words that won the championship. One in 1999, one in 2005. Are you ready for your first word?
Let's give it a shot.
Your first word, Rob, is...
Can you repeat the... Oh, wait. Sorry.
Your first word, Rob, is logorrhea.
Okay. Logorrhea. L-O-G-O-R-R-H-E-A.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You just won the B in 1999.
All right. Yeah, I don't think I would have made it to the finals. But
okay.
I, the double R, I wasn't sure if it was going to be one or two R's.
Very good. Okay. So here's your second one from the year 2005. Your word, Rob, is appoggiatura.
Appoggiatura?
It's a musical term. Appoggiatura.
Yeah. Appoggiatura.
Right.
Okay.
Oh,
so it's a musical term. Mm-hmm. That
mm-hmm.
gave it away. That
Did
was
it?
Your fatal mistake. All right. I may blow this one right at the top. A-P-P. A-G-I-A-T-U-R-A.
Oh, so two, close.
What was it, one P?
So close. No, it was two P's, two G's, but no A in the middle. So it's A-P-P-O-G-G-I-A-T-U-R-A.
That was close. Okay. I'm going to count that as a win.
Pretty good. 50%.
All right. Well, you can post on the Central Time Facebook page your thoughts on spelling, and we won't judge you if you spell anything incorrectly. That's the Central Time Facebook page.